to agenda item 13, open public input. We have three participants today. I'm going to call you all, but we've got enough chairs, I'll call you all, but once you know the rules. Dennis DeSilvas, Lawrence Buckland, and Jim Tuggle.
Vice Chair Carpenter, members of the commission, Director Suswin, and Deputy Director Storr. I'm Dennis DeSilvas, and I am representing the WDFW's Wildlife Diversity Advisory Council. That's WDAC. And I just want to reiterate now, I'm really hoping that we're going to get to a decision that you have a quorum for sharp-tail grouse. It's been hanging around for a while now, and I understand why. And the reason why, really, is because the WDAC, the people on the WDAC, were the ones that did the ground truth to find out about sharp-tailed grouse and the fact that, you know, we're under 700 birds in seven areas. And that really laid the foundation for our... We don't take things very lightly as far as uplisting species on the council. And it's really because of that understanding that we had of the numbers that we made the recommendation that we did to uplist. And we listened to all the species stuff. I mean, almost every month we're talking about species. And we'd rather talk about habitat and landscape and stuff like that, but we have to focus a lot of times on this. Please, please uplist the grouse.
Thank you, Don.
You know what the information is. At the Wildlife Committee meeting yesterday, there was no real decision as far as voting was concerned or anything like that. You guys didn't vote for that. But it was left up to the full commission. Please, and I'm talking to a lot of your fin guys. This is a feather side. Please uplist the grouse in order to get the information and get a little bit more leverage. Thank you.
Thank you. We got it. Appreciate it, Dennis.
Thank you.
Mr. Buckland.
Good morning. Again, I'll get some of that cake. Thank you. Yesterday when I was here and testified, I may have left some of you with the wrong impression on one issue. I want to make sure you understood that since the ad hoc group on Point No Point has been meeting this year with staff has made a serious effort to try to move this thing off dead center. If I left you with an indication that nothing had been done, that was wrong. They've done a lot. It just hasn't come to fruition. There's the needle hasn't moved. You know, pick the statement that you want to cover it. So Mr. Cunningham, Mr. Phillips have been very involved. Mr. Phillips has actually met with tribal representatives. Nothing moved. So from my perspective, we're back to needing to put pressure on the Corps because they're the ones that have not been issuing the permit. So I just want to clear that up.
I'd like to respond to that. After your presentation, Mr. Cunningham came up and spoke to me about it. And I believe from what he told me that there is some progress. And I think we're going to have to be a little bit more patient. He couldn't go into all the details, but apparently there is some movement. Director, do you have any familiarity with that? And you maybe haven't got to that yet, but okay. Anyway, I trust what Mr. Cunningham was telling me was true, and we're going to continue to push to get that resolved. It's an important issue for sure.
It is because we, as I mentioned yesterday, we are losing access, yeah. And having more access is critical. If I can shift over to the Puyallup Hatchery. I just want to make sure that folks knew that renovation has been touted as being able to produce 800,000 spring Chinook. And my question is, are those fish going to be clipped? and therefore available for potential recreational harvest. And I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just bringing that to your attention so you're aware of it. We're putting more assets into that river. We need to see something coming out of it for us.
Well, as far as, if I may, unless somebody else has some comment, if there be a Chinook and they're being raised in a hatchery, they will be marked. That's the policy. So,
with some caveats on recovery and trying to recover a run, and I just want to bring that to your attention. So that's it for me today. Thank you,
Joe. Is that that's your understanding as well? Is it not?
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair, that'd be my assumption. I don't know if there's any particulars around this hatchery in terms of recovery or whatever that might be otherwise.
We'll look into it. Thank you, Mr. Tuggle.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Jim Tuggle, Tumwater, Washington. I don't quite know where to start. And after I get through today, I'll probably guarantee I'll never get picked for another committee. And I hate being the stinker, but it's time. Overall, I'd like to say our plans on Puget Sound Chinook and other salmon recovery over the last 10, 12 years, they're not working. They're not working at all. We're cut back in harvest. We are not recovering our wild fish. We need a change in direction. We need it from you. It'll be tough. There's lots of good habitat out there without any fish spawning in it. But also, there aren't the fish to catch that we used to have. And I'm here representing the Friends of the Deschutes, and I want to talk about this Deschutes hatchery because I think it's been kept the state's best secret. Spurred me to action when the governor came out and talked about orcas, and I went, holy smoke, finally maybe the governor's office gets it. They're starving to death. They don't have any fish to eat. There are other factors, Chinook salmon productivity, having them in Puget Sound. I have no idea what the numbers are. You guys probably do. Anyway, the promises that were made on constructing this new Deschutes hatchery go back to 2003, 2004. We formed a nonprofit group, and the department kind of fell flat on its face on keeping their promises. What happened one after another, directors, assistant directors coming to us. A year ago, I went in Tumwater Parks, asked the parks director, have you heard anything from Fish and Wildlife about the hatchery? Not much. They're working on some stuff. So being fired up, I made some phone calls, finally got some answers. Just going to throw a couple numbers at you. In fiscal year 2013-15, there's appropriated $7.3 million for initial phase. Years ago, we had just a little less than a million for design and whatnot. I have no idea how many iterations we've had on design for construction of these places. I'm guessing we're over $2 million. I could be way over. And in 2015-17, the capital budget appropriated $5 million for design and permitting for the Pioneer Park facilities. In 17-19, the budget included $9.5 million of reappropriated funding and no new appropriations for construction. Well, they had to reappropriate it because the timeline ran out. I checked last week with how we were doing with the City of Tumwater Parks Department, and the department's been so recalcitrant in getting things done that a lot of their permits have expired. There's a lot more to say on this, and I hope I've whetted your appetite. I am so much in favor of the construction of this facility that will provide a minimum of 25,000 or 30,000 hatchery fish in the catch from Nea Bay to Olympia.
Mr. Baker.
Sorry to repeat questions, but this is an issue that's important to me. Are we sure that the construction of this hatchery isn't bound up with the estuary lake decision? And also do this lake's closed. You obviously know that. It's closed because we can't get rid of the snails no matter what we do. Does the invasive species issues affect the construction of the hatchery either?
No, because we planted several million fish there last year and the year before and the year before, and that's why we had such a good return. In my opinion, and I've got opinion on lots of stuff, as you can tell, the lake's a mess. It should be cleaned up. Fisheries, Department of Fisheries used to manage that lake, and every July we backflushed it to get rid of all the slime and the gunk and clean up the lake. I'm not worried about that snail. A lot of people are. That snail lives in Lake Washington. We got lots of fish up there, and we got people fishing off the bank. Years ago, people started fishing our Chinook at just below the dam in Puget Sound. We stopped that. We used to have Capitol Lake open just to catch these hatchery fish. People fished off the bank on Capitol Lake, and they closed that. We had an area on the Deschutes River just below the 400-foot mark from the fish ladders. They closed that. These are all hatchery fish, and we put 100 of them upstream last year. But back at the hatchery, I'm happy to answer any questions. We had a committee, a nonprofit organization, that has Squaxin and Indian tribe on it to promote this. They even gave me $5,000 for interpretive signs, and that was about 2006. Here's a citizens organization with CCA, PSA, Trout Unlimited, Tumwater School District, Squaxin Indian Tribe to promote this. We're sitting on our butts and not getting it done.
Joe? Well, I guess I have a different perspective on it, of course, than Mr. Tuttle does, but we'd be happy to come in and talk about the schedule and the events that have taken place and the expenditures, et cetera. I think you might enjoy that, actually, because it's going to be a great facility, I think.
It is.
On the Deschutes Hatchery piece, we spent, just as an example of the timeline issues, we spent probably 2 years negotiating with the foundation. The brewery foundation owns that land. The new hatchery will have a different footprint. That means the soil underneath, et cetera, needs to be characterized. And there was a lot of concern about liability in terms of what we might find or not find as we were characterizing the soil. So there, it was a real extended conversation, negotiation at the hatchery. I know that was one difficulty. On the Pioneer Park side, you have a river, a water source that has its own issues. There's very little water there about this time of year. So we're looking at wells. We're looking at water quality. We're looking at, we've been working with Department of Ecology on the NPDES, the permits that are going to be required, given all those challenges. So this isn't a simple facility to build, but we are excited about building it, and we're getting a lot of support from the legislature to fund it. It's not cheap, but it might be interesting for the commission to have Tim Burns come in and just talk about what's it going to look like ultimately, and where are we, and what are the milestones along the way. So,
Joe, would it be reasonable to request at the appropriate time a briefing on the history of this, so we could kind of get brought up to speed on what has happened and what could happen?
Sure.
Okay.
We can, Larry.
Mr. Graybill.
If I might suggest, Tug, if you could get your troops together and then get a meeting with Joe and the appropriate staff. I would love to have a briefing, but we did see what that facility is going to look like. It's going to be very impressive when it gets done. But I think it's, at this point in time, Tug, I think you guys would appreciate an update about where things are.
Oh, yeah.
Your different stakeholder groups, if you could figure out a time when they can all get together. We'll make sure that we get staff there to answer your questions and just give you an update. Would that be helpful?
Sure. I want to clear up a couple of misunderstandings here, because you're getting a picture of this hatchery that's not the way it is. And the city of Tumwater needs to be included in these meetings. They've donated a couple million dollars worth of property. And Joe talks about the hatchery, but what he said about the collection facility is not a hatchery. All we've got is a pond there and a way to collect fish when they come up the river. The hatchery is going to be built about a mile upstream at Pioneer Park. That's the hatchery. And most of this at the collection facility was going to be public relations, where the public could have a healthy view of these fish with some glass and everything. But we had that hurdle passed a long time ago, Joe, and then we've changed executive directors of the Olympia tumwater organization, and we need to move on this. I mean, I can't be more clear on that. I know I'm way over my 3 minutes. I'll answer any other questions that you have. The promises haven't been kept, but the money's there. And we had legislative support, and we had community support, and we were just in limbo, and we shouldn't have been. We can raise all the money. I've got the backing, not only City Council to tumwater in their parks, but now the County Commission. They can't wait to have this built.
Commissioner Baker.
I appreciate hearing this. And, you know, when we go to other places, sometimes the commissioners come up with cool places to visit, and we get to have our meetings outside and not in this kind of a conference room. I think we should think about getting outside. We're talking about a mile from here, and it would be fun. It would be fun to see it.
Yeah, great comment. Mr. Tuggle, thank you very much. We appreciate the update, and we will learn more soon.
Thanks.
You betcha. That concludes our open public input segment.